This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 229 of the Countdown Podcast. My name's Wayne.
Brilliant. And my name is Paul. Welcome to the show where we count down movies and sometimes TV in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today is a very special episode because we've got some guests that we're going to be battling with.
That's right.
All the way from Philadelphia in the United States, we got Dave and Jay from the Super Movie Bros podcast. Gentlemen, welcome to the Countdown.
Oh, thank you for having us. So happy to be here.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Going to be a lot of fun. Now, this was your suggestion today's topic, the top 10 movie trailers.
I love this.
So where did this come from? I think it was yours, Dave?
Yeah. So on our show, like the way me and Jay actually became friends and started talking about movies was we worked at the same place. And then like we had some downtime at times. Like sometimes we work on weekends and we worked in a care facility. And in the weekends, everyone would sleep in. So me and Jay would watch trailers on our phones and discuss it. And then we go to the bar and like talk about trailers and stuff. So like trailers is actually how Super Movie Bros started.
Yes, it did.
I was like, yeah, it just makes sense. If we're going to go on the Countdown Pod, we're going to do...
And everybody knows. They that's what excites us, you know, for upcoming movies. And you can hold a conversation
sometimes.
About things. And
sometimes.
Well, sometimes. This could be a letdown sometimes as well. But the great thing about this category is it's not so much about the movie itself. It's about the trailer. You know, it could have been a shit movie. And
that
is a big disappointment, but it could have been a great trailer.
Not going to spoil
There's
anything.
There's a few of those.
There may be some bad movies on my list.
Maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Now, before we get too far into the particulars of today, how about you tell our listeners a bit about your show and what you do and how you go about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Super Movie Bros is a current movie like podcast. So we do new movie reviews, we do movie news, we obviously do trailer park breakdowns. That's what we call our trailer breakdowns, trailer park.
Yes.
Trailer park. And then we also every month, once a month, we do a movie cocktail. It's where our Twitter followers vote on four different movies that were nominated in a category. The film that wins, we actually make an original cocktail for, and then we take a deep dive into that movie.
Damn.
It's awesome. I haven't made any of these drinks yet, but some of them sound absolutely awesome, Dave. And I know you actually do make them and then try them out. So
yeah,
you are the living proof.
Yeah. All four of us take turns making them. And then me and Jay make all the Patreon drinks that go up there that other people don't get to see. So.
Nice. Oh,
that is cool. I love cocktail mixing, man.
It's a great fun show. You guys have a great back and forth. You know, Jay is the sort of indie straight dude, and Dave is the I go all in hard on comic books and big explosions and shit. So it's a lovely gelling between
this,
the two.
This yes. list is going to be so just fucking spastic.
Like, it will be.
You'll either get whiplash listened to our, or you'll just think someone with cerebral palsy like wrote this list because it's just like it's all over the place.
It's a bit of a marriage of the two of us,
yeah.
For sure.
Well, that's exactly it. That's what it has to be. When you're representing your show with your list versus ours. So,
yeah,
and that's probably the same to some extent, although we were pretty agreeable for a change.
We were agreeable on like putting... Because first of all, I don't know if you guys had problems with this list, but it's fucking hard. I thought, I'll just knock this out in an hour or two. I spent 5 hours on it yesterday. 5 hours
just
watching trailers.
I think we had eight. Like, I'd say like me and Jay had like a solid like eight that like we knew that we wanted on there, and he had a few that I was like, get that shit off of there like right now. Like if I have to go on and I have to talk about this on air, like I might vomit. So
I recommend showing too. Your yeah. disdain for those choices.
Yeah, it's
oh I will.
I can't believe this shit's on here. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, in that case, let's get into it then. On the other side of this music cue, the top 10 movie trailer. Top 10 movie trailers is this week's topic on the Countdown. And as we have discussed already all the particulars, let's get straight into it then. Dave and Jay, let us away as the guests. Your number 10 best ever trailer.
Absolutely. Jay, take it away because I don't want to touch this one with a 10-foot pole unless I'm beating it.
I have to do it. And this is a recent film, actually, guys. This is A Star Is Born.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I hate this movie.
Good call.
I hate this movie so much.
The moment this trailer dropped, I was in. The fact that they didn't even have to do another trailer after this initial trailer shows the impact that it had on the people that, that saw this, I think.
It's a musician biopic without the actual, you know, bio to go with this pick.
But he did it right. Bradley Cooper, I think, knocked everybody's socks off because the fact that, like, we didn't have any expectations going into this movie, right? It's a, what, 5 or 6 remake of this kind of film?
I knew it was a bunch of boring melodrama that I wouldn't like, and I was not wrong.
But the songs were fantastic. The matchup between Lady Gaga and himself were really, really strong.
Can't argue
and
there.
I loved it. I loved the music. I loved the drama. I loved the fact that you felt like you were on stage. It was very grounded. It wasn't very heightened.
Well, it's because they actually did film this all on stage. So, you know, they didn't have to pretend. No movie magic there. They just did it.
This is, I think, my number one or number two movie of the year. And I kind of knew that fact after watching the trailer. I was that sold. I knew it had something special about it. And it knocked my socks off. And I definitely remember that being one of the top trailers
I've seen. All right. I see Bradley. Bradley Cooper dripping off your chin. Just calm down there. I'm done.
I like this show too and this trailer, guys. Like, it was awesome because it showed her doing the thing and you're like, ooh, she went out on stage and she started singing the song for the first time and everyone killed it. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful
episode. She did the thing that the movie was about in the trailer. Yay! Obviously, this is why this is like so low on our list is because I don't actually vehemently hate this movie. I just hate it so much because Jay sucked its dick for so long before this movie came out that it just killed it for me before I even saw it.
That's a good reason. Yeah, solid reason. I can get behind that. I'm sure Wayne can too. Well, that's interesting number 10 to kick it off. Our number 10 is all Wayne, almost as hard as that was all Jay.
People, I got to tell you, all right? Paul's not on board with this, but fuck him. this trailer was so good. I definitely had some like wet nether region situation. And in the movie itself, I did not like. But the trailer is for the movie Bad Times at the El Royale. This shit is cool, according to me. Do you remember this one?
Terrible trailer, but I can't. I just remember a lot of Chris Hemsworth nude, like or shirtless. You know?
Which... Well, why do you think Wayne was wet?
Fair enough.
Well, look, it's this 50s like El Royale hotel. It's clearly shot, you know, in the 50s, like Technicolor, that light and stuff. It's got that Motown, This Old Heart of Mine playing in the background. Very cool. John Hamm looking salesmanzy. Like Paul does not like this, but it's a great looking bunch of shots. And then there's a shot where this like guy answers the door, still very jaunty music. He answers the door, someone's at the door, he turns his back and gets shotgunned, and then the music goes boom, stops. All of a sudden the thing gets dark. There's John Hamm like walking down dark corridors and picking locks. And then you just as an audience member, this is the turn. You're like, oh, okay, it's kind of sinister. This is not just a 50s ass show. And then there's all this cool like just shot after shot after shot. But this whole Heart of Mine soundtrack turns into a cappella and it's really echoey. And then with the whole thing tying up with a boom, 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 the clock ticking, you get this cool, wicked, I don't know, the pastiche itself just made me think it was cool. Look, Thor also ends
color.
Up.
It was a lot of color. That's all they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, which I kind of liked because I like that shit. But like,
so does my daughter. She's 4. She loves color too.
No doubt, no doubt. We're very similar. But the, of course Thor gets naked later on. Right?
Half naked.
Naked-ish, right? I mean, I'm a big fan of it. I don't know what's going on, right? But I just thought it was a beautifully executed trailer, and sadly, the movie was a piece of shit. The
movie wasn't a piece of shit.
It's a piece
sure.
of shit.
Well, I am sure what drugs you on.
Boring ass sandwich.
No, I'm surprised this was such a favorite of yours, and of all the trailers of all time, this is what leads off our list. Okay.
Because it was such a disparate thing. Like, I'm like, this is great. This is shit. Yeah. You know, it did its job. It got me there and then pissed me off.
All right, well, that's our 10. I guess we'll throw back to you for hopefully a bit more sense with your number 9.
That is what these lists are about, right? Like, the trailer got us there. Like, yes. That's what every trailer does. It just gets you there. It did its job. It did the bare minimum, Wayne. So,
I'm alone on a lot of things that I do.
It's not employee of the month material, that's for sure.
I mean, our number 9 is going to be, you know.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's a conversation piece.
Let's hear it.
So number 9, this movie was not good. But this trailer, I remember like back when iTunes was like the place to go for movie trailers, just refreshing this trailer over and over again. And then you hear Marlon Brando's voice. They're good people, Kal-El. They wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For that reason, above all else, I showed them you, my only son. And Superman Returns, man. I absolutely loved this trailer.
Superman Returns, you're going
with. Yeah, the Bryan Singer one.
The Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
The original teaser, like you... it starts off just showing all these, like, the Kansas Vista, right, of Clark, like, growing up, jumping through the wheat and stuff,
the music,
racing the train.
The score,
right.
Yeah.
And it's actually, like, all those scenes are recreations of Richard Donner scenes from the original Superman. Right. And you're starting to get drawn in, especially if you're a Donner Superman fan. And then you hear Marlon Brando's voice. And I am a Donner Superman fan, so I was like, oh, fuck yes. I knew this movie was being made. I didn't know it was going to be in the same universe as mm-hmm. Donner Superman. And then I come to find out that, like, Donner, it's a sequel to Superman 2 and Superman 3 and the Quest for Peace, the canon piece of shit, never happened. And all of a sudden, I was elated. And I just felt this emotion of, like, Superman floating in space, looking over the Earth as the sun is cresting.
Exactly.
Marlon Brando's voice telling them that I sent them you, Kal-El, to show them the way to be a better people. And it's like, fuck, that's powerful. And then I went to the movie theater. I went to the movie theater, and I just I saw Spacey just chewing up scenery, like, just like literally biting like pieces of drywall off the wall and spitting it at me in the theater. He was so bad as Lex Luthor. Superman didn't fight anybody.
Superman lifted things above his head.
He whined and pined so much. And I was like, God damn it, this is not my Superman.
And I really, you know, to be honest, like, Brandon Routh wasn't a bad Superman. I mean,
he was good.
he was really good. He looked the part. I thought he did a good job. It's just...
Yo, Superman rocked. This movie was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
I love this movie, man. Superman Return, I love the shit out of it. No one else does. And Paul likes to fucking Roger it from the ass. But, like, this was a good-ass movie. And that trailer was the balls too, because Brandon Routh looked like a real, like, he's looked like Christopher Reeve, man. So it's
and that's why he got the job.
Yeah. Totally. And he was
and supposedly he allowed Bryan Singer to do some things to his nethers. But that's all Hollywood rumor stuff.
You had to go there, Dave. Yeah.
Hey, I've been fingered for jobs before, so, you know, whatever. All right. It's fine.
All right. Well, so there's a theme going here so far with the choices that have been made. Except for, no, I should take that back. Jay, your Star Is Born. Obviously, you love that one. I'm going to keep the theme going with our number 8, which is a trailer which was, sorry, our number 9. My apologies. For a film which turned out to be absolute ass, complete utter shit show of a film. But the trailers were so intriguing, had everybody ramped up and excited. The first of them, the one I haven't picked, was Cut to Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. The second of them is the one that I'm going for, and it's Suicide Squad's trailer, which ends up with Ballroom Blitz playing. You guys remember this one?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I was excited for this movie when I saw these trailers.
Exactly.
We all were, man. It looked so fucking beautiful.
It was fast-paced. It looked great. It had some awesome effects. It had a great cast, which was, you know, introduced really cleverly to the You Don't Own Me cover. And then when it switches to Ballroom Blitz and all the action's taking place, you get glimpses of Batman on the back of a car. Yep. Just enough of a tease of the Joker to know that, okay, he's different, but we're not sold, you know, not sold either way on him yet.
I remember watching this trailer with my thumb over the phone every time Jared Leto showed up, because I did not like the look of that Joker. But everything else
like
about
that.
This trailer I loved.
Interesting. I liked the look of that Joker.
It was just so exciting, so energetic, so kinetic. And then we got what we got. But I was so in, and everyone was so keen. This movie made so much money its opening weekend. Then everyone saw it, and it didn't make that much more afterwards.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a sequel coming, right?
Sequel,
yeah,
reboot, confirmed? Whatever.
Reboot, no. Yeah. A whole bunch
it's confirmed.
Almost
yeah.
all new characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same. Oh, really?
Yep. So virtually. Well, we're not sure even if Margot Robbie's going to be back. So.
Practically the same movie. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, all right. So that's our number 9. You were okay with this one, Wayne.
I believe. I like that one. So, yes. Fellas, your number 8?
Yeah.
Number 8 is actually David Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yeah.
Ooh,
so it
okay.
is the teaser with the Trent Reznor and Karen O cover of Immigrant Song overplaying the teaser.
Not my favorite trailer that uses that song, but, you know,
yeah,
you wanted this hard.
Thor.
Yes. So, this is one of those kind of things where when this came out, I think this was the first trailer, I'm pretty sure. This had some balls, and it was very blatant about it. Very bold font overlaying. There was barely any dialogue overplaying. It was just a lot of quick shots of the movie throughout. And obviously, this had a lot of hype because this was a remake, Americanized remake from the Swedish versions that were very, really beloved. And I liked them as well. But I love Fincher, obviously, as everybody else. And I had a lot of hype going into it. and it didn't disappoint me whatsoever.
No, this
and,
this trailer smacked of Fincher because I could literally hear like the studio execs going, you like Fincher? Yeah, check out this trailer because it's just fast cuts of Fincher, like of just
Fincher. Yeah,
it just looks
all over the place.
The cinematography just screams Fincher.
But the fact that it was coming out over Christmas time and it had the balls, and it really did. It was like counter programming, essentially. It was like the feel bad movie of the year. They even said that in the trailer. Yeah. So I just gave it credit for being just very bold, very in your face about that. And I love the movie. I still do. I love it. I own it. It was just one of those movies that really worked for me. And I thought the trailer really hit home with trying to get the viewers prepared for what they're going to see.
While thoughts of sugar plums and graphic rape scenes danced in
their
heads.
And that music works. I mean, come on.
The music's great.
Right? Now, no,
it's
4-4,
no, four, well.
You know, or 4-3, right? Four.
Don't talk about Thor. That's my job.
Okay, sorry.
Nice. Oh, that's a good pick. I agree. That trailer was quite intriguing. In fact, that music. So I downloaded that song, and for whatever reason, my daughter heard that version before she heard the Led Zeppelin version. So
that's always gonna happen
when she wants to hear a song. This song, she's like, I want to hear the old song.
And did you?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Cool, man. No, this looked cool, this trailer. And I didn't see the first Dragon Tattoo, the original one. And then when this came out and we thought David Fincher was doing it, the fact that it was cut, that just made it cool because I didn't need to know really anything about the story. I just wanted to know if I was going to like how it looked.
Does this trailer have the sort of slow-mo car driving down, shot down a road with sort of trees going past, or it's zooming in?
That's how it starts.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then it just slowly builds and builds and builds throughout. Yeah.
I actually don't hate Jay for this pick. I actually did like this movie. So,
begrudging respect.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, that's a good number eight. Wayne is all over our number eight, like his bodily fluid over this film.
Yes.
Wait, that makes no sense, but you get it.
Yeah, I know it. I came on Watchmen, everyone. That's right. The movie is Watchmen. The trailer is Watchmen now.
Arcing
this
ropes,
is the shit,
yeah.
People. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Okay. As a guy who read the comic, I mean, the graphic novel,
the
book.
Thank you.
The book. We finally see like a trailer bring into life those panels that you know so well. So first of all, that is cool because the comic is conventional. This thing is real. You take those frames, and this teaser doesn't bother with explaining all the like complex stories and themes. It just gives you those memorable visual moments. And the Smashing Pumpkins song as the background, I think that does wonders for this trailer, man. Because it makes it all dystopian and weighty. And slow-mo, Zack Snyder, this is, I think, his best work ever. Okay, I don't know if he did the trailer or
what?
Not. That's no. Right. What, you think it's another movie we might mention later? Okay.
No.
Oh, okay. So I don't know. This thing probably is what made me just jump out and say I'm definitely never not going to watch that movie. That I have to see this, right? So yeah. Did you guys like Watchmen?
Yeah, I was hooked by this trailer. Number one, Wayne, I did like this trailer, but I actually really do love this movie a lot. I'm a big defender of this movie. I quite like it a bit, and I'm one of the few people that like I love the graphic novel. I love the graphic novel more than I like the movie. I do like the change that they do at the ending, the little flop, because it makes more cinematic sense. Like
absolutely.
You know, so where the other one?
A big fucking octopus. You know, like you can't.
You
do
don't
it.
Need it. You know. It just wouldn't fit in the story. Everyone in the audience would have been like, "What? I'm sorry. What the fuck is it? Like, is it, it just turned into hentai porn so quickly?"
Guy in this show as well.
Right.
Is awesome.
And then you vilify the hero and stuff like that. If it just cinematically and for the story and the way that Snyder was telling it, it made sense. And I really enjoyed it. I don't like the 3-hour, 4-hour long cut or whatever it is, the ultimate cut director's cut.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Yeah, no. Yeah.
With the pirate
ship. Yeah, thing. With the animated thing. Yeah, which is, by the way, harrowing. I agree with that. Oh my god, you're the second guy who likes Watchmen.
No, there's lots of people like Watchmen, but it is very divisive. Very
I'm
divisive.
Not, also, I don't need the Snyder cut, so don't think I'm one of those people either. I'm not one of those.
Dave's going on record.
I mean, we'd watch
no
it.
Snyder cut.
Oh. But we don't need.
I'm not going to fight for it, but I'll watch it. If I'll let other people do that fighting.
All right. Well, there you go. So we're all in a relative agreement about that one. Jay's suspiciously quiet.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan on it. I respect it. I respect
You're like the rest
it.
Of the world.
I'll just say that. I respect it.
Cool. All right. Well, then how about back to you, gentlemen, for your number seven?
All right. So my number seven. This is a teaser for Quentin Tarantino's fourth film. It's the teaser for Kill Bill. And man, I love it. It just starts off with that music. And then like the plane comes flying over Japan. Exactly. Synergy. And like it's just all these like quick cuts of like this weird cult film. People fighting with samurai swords, weird costumes, colorful characters.
You've never seen this before.
No words are said. And like one of the cool parts is like when I went back and watched it, you see what is it? Michael Jai White. He is a sword master. His scene was actually cut from the final cut, and it was actually supposed to be in Kill Bill Volume 2, but it was actually cut from the film, from the theatrical release. So, but it was in this teaser trailer. And then you see her fighting Pai Mei, which is actually in Kill Bill Volume 2. So like this teaser for Kill Bill Volume 1 was actually, he wasn't sure yet where the cuts were going to be, how the editing was going to go. But the teaser just set it up so much that this was his love letter to kung fu movies, to foreign films, to like all these things that like really you know, built him up as a filmmaker. And I was on board. I was sold. I was probably in high school at the time. So like I had just probably started watching Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and Four Rooms and True Romance. And like I was like, fuck, I am so ready for this. And my ass was in seat day one.
It did not disappoint.
Great choice.
I didn't know about Michael Jai White being cut. I love Michael Jai White, man.
Yeah,
he's the shit.
Yeah. He's actually in this teaser trailer, and I remember watching this, and I kept waiting for him. I was like, "Where's Spawn? Why isn't Spawn here?"
Yeah, you want Spawn up in this piece, man?
You promised me Spawn.
Yes.
Damn it.
Okay, that's very cool. I didn't think about that one.
I didn't either.
I didn't think about that one, but it's a good call.
Bit of an oversight. Nice pick there, Dave. And was this one that you had to lobby hard to get on the list, or was were you behind it, Jay?
No, absolutely. I love this one.
I showed it to Jay the other night, and he goes, "Oh yeah."
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge fan of this movie. I thought it was a great cut, great trailer. And, you know, again, when you think about it, as far as a trailer, the way it's made, especially back then, that era, you never saw stuff like that before. And as a trailer and for a Quentin Tarantino movie, I mean, that's going to get butts in the seats. And people loved it.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it looked way different to Jackie Brown, which was that more contemplative, quiet Tarantino. Sure. So, yeah.
My right, least favorite Tarantino movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, other than Death Proof.
Death Proof, yeah. Ugh.
Okay, cool. So our number 7 then is the oldest film on our list. So, you know, we had all of cinema history to go through.
This is
so,
Paul Stiles right here. Okay.
So I figured...
Now, I wanted to ask this before we started recording, so I apologize for doing it now. But what, like, was that part of your... Because, like, my personal rule was, if I didn't see this trailer and I don't remember getting hyped for it, it didn't go on my list. So I actually axed one that I truly love, I actually saw the movie before I ever saw this trailer.
Oh, that's quite strict. No, we just...
This is definitely... I didn't see this trailer. This is one that I can appreciate in retrospect for how impressive it is given its time. So I guess we didn't have that same rule.
Fair enough.
It is from 1979. It is the trailer for Alien.
This is the one I cut. Damn it.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Shit.
131 seconds of building anxiety and
it's
absolute fear. It's so cleverly done. It's kind of like, what is this? It opens with the famous alien sort of font slowly forming the words, while beneath it there's shots of what is it, a moon or a planet or a landscape? Turns out to be an alien egg, which then cracks open and this screaming sort of wailing siren sound kicks into play, and we get these quick cuts of Ripley running down a corridor and the camera jumping round and them all looking fearful and frightened and being lowered down into the spaceship, and it's just frantic and it is really pulse pounding stuff, and it sort of builds to this crescendo and then suddenly drops to silence as the words
disturbing
that Jerry Goldsmith score where it just sounds like a scream. Just echoing,
a scream slash siren,
over and over and over and getting louder, almost like to a maddening extent, where it's like it really drills into your brain, where you're like, I'm afraid just watching this egg crack and spew green ooze.
It's a great trailer. It is. I mean, Dave and I watched it. We were really contemplating it, you know, putting it on our top 10 list, and it was one of those things that it had a great slow build. And it did rev up to a great finale of the trailer.
Doesn't hurt that it's one of my favorite movies of all time, too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that helps. That part helps. So, yeah, and then it fades out to silence and in space, no one can hear you scream.
I still remember that tagline from when I was a kid.
It's one of the greatest taglines of all time.
Good, yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. All right, cool. That's our number 7. Back to you guys.
All right, I'm going to flip it on its head and go probably the most indie of films is The Tree of Life.
Ooh.
What the fuck?
Hey, hold on. In our research, this was on a lot of people's lists. So when Jay put it down, I went, I mean, okay.
I don't think I've even seen the trailer.
Oh, dude, it's just like the fucking movie.
No, okay, exactly. Let Jay
talk about please.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a Terrence Malick film, and this is like the first of its kind when he started to make these very, you know, voice overlapped, languid, kind of trippy looking movies. And the trailer really was hypnotic in many different kind of ways, and it hit home at an emotional core for me. You know, this is set in 1956, I believe, and, you know, it follows Brad Pitt as this very stern father figure who I can relate to, having one of my own. And then also, you know, just youth, you know, being like a 10, 12 year old or something like that, going up, growing up, having a father like that, trying to explore, navigate yourself as a human being, but also in a family household like that. And the way he cut this trailer and the way the scope of it, with the violin and like the score overlapping, it was so beautiful, and the way it was shot, it was so beautiful. It really just struck a chord with me, and it stuck with me for years and years afterwards.
And, did you like the film?
It got me in the seat. Now, did I love the movie? I liked the movie. I didn't love it. I definitely got tiresome of it. But
yeah,
you know, again, I respect it. I respect what he was trying to do. I think it is in a lot of ways a very cinematic film achievement, but as far as the trailer, it was hypnotically beautiful. I loved
it. If you like this film, right, and if you like this trailer, because I actually do know, I remember the trailer as well with the wheat field and stuff like that, and that it was actually really cool to look at. Me and Paul got pissed off with Terrence Malick in The Thin Blue Line.
Red.
The Red Blue Line? Thin Red Line? Thin Red Line. Yes. Okay, yeah. So, because it's all just, I'm staring through off into the distance because I'm Jim Caviezel and I'm Jesus, and there's like light coming through the fucking like leaves in the foreground, and then it's like, what is it when you don't like apple pie? I don't know. He's just saying some shit, man. And we all go, fuck Terrence Malick. And then this trailer, even though it is a really beautiful trailer, reminded me particularly of that. I'm like, yeah. But I understand that it actually is beautiful. I've just been tainted, right?
Well, I have one question of all of you who have seen this trailer, and I haven't. Does it feature a dinosaur?
It does.
Yes. Yeah, okay. It does. It does. Right. But that movie is like weird.
That might have got me in.
Oh, it's Jurassic Park? Great.
No, I'd heard about the dinosaur in the film. So, it's all right, well, that
movie,
is a bit of a left field.
It is. You see dinosaurs before you see human beings in this movie.
Okay.
All right, man. No spoilers.
Oh, it's all over the place.
All right, cool.
It's a wild movie.
That's your six then? So, for our six.
Oh, it's someone's six. I don't know if it was mine, but, you know.
Oh, I'm surprised it got so high then, Dave. I am.
Oh, this is cool. Maybe we play jazz, but he's listening.
Our list is tit for tat. So, you know.
It was competitive.
I gotcha. Back and forth, I understand.
Yeah, this is Spielberg. One for them, one for us. You know?
Well, our number six is a fair bit more mainstream than that.
This is Paul's call, everyone.
Don't it sound such a bad thing.
I know, I'm down with it. I'm just saying, you know, this is how it's going to go. So go, Paul.
This is the trailer, one of the trailers that undid much of the pain of Lucas's prequel trilogy, when we all began to hope once again that Star Wars might be something we can be proud of and into. It's the Force Awakens trailer from in 2015.
Absolutely.
Me and Jay will stay mum.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So the one that I went with basically was the 2:35 trailer, and it starts off with Daisy doing her Daisy Ridley. Thank you. Get there in the end.
Yeah.
So much breathing in these trailers.
Yep.
They're all about breathing.
Stop trying to turn me on, Dave. All right.
It's getting late.
Yeah. Our Force Awakens trailer is different, so it'll be interesting when we get
that's
to
cool.
That.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I thought it would be the one I was going to go for was the one that ended with Han Solo saying, Chewie, we're home. But I actually wound up liking this one more with the Renegade Trooper and Darth Vader's melted helmet. So I guess it's the teaser? I can't remember if it's the teaser or the...
No, if it's 2 minutes and 35 seconds, it's
no,
the
first it does seem long for a
no,
teaser.
No, it's the last trailer.
Yeah.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then John Williams sort of reworks score, and there's Han, and there's R2-D2, and there's Chewie, and there's a battle on a new planet, and hints of a lightsaber battle with John Boyega running backwards as this dark figure storms towards him. And then the ominous voice of Snoke.
Snoke! We couldn't remember his name when we were doing the fucking other one. Like,
of Snoke.
You know, the guy with the head, with the yeah.
Well, you know what? You guys cared about as much as Rian Johnson did about developing Snoke, so.
Yeah. Great call. Sand droids, X-Wings, lightsabers, and then cut to black, and then John Williams' traditional score swells, and we see the Millennium Falcon sort of spiraling up, and it's just magic. And I'm like, okay.
That's the best bit. When the Millennium Falcon is like cruising through over the sand, and he just, fucking that really nostalgic trailer, like some music, I mean, the shit. I like that the most.
All right, well, we're going to hear more about it from you gentlemen in due course, so we're obviously close to on the same page. Back to you for number five.
All right, number five. What a lovely day! It's Mad Max Fury Road trailer, man.
Oh, well, if you're staying mum, then so are we.
I absolutely love this trailer. Tom Hardy does more speaking as Max in the trailer than he does in the actual film. that Mad Max voiceover. But just the world that they were setting up, it felt so familiar, so comfortable to me. And the second I saw it and I saw the sand and I saw this dystopian outlook and I saw all these people in crazy, like, homemade costumes, pretty much.
The whole
thing
is crazy.
I literally, awesome. To myself, I was like, I'm home. Like, I feel like I can live in that world with all these crazy assholes.
Exactly. And especially since you find out that, like, this is all mostly practically done. You know, the production values, cinematography is phenomenal. Yeah. And it really just landed. It
Wayne, I am one bad day from going full Mad Max. So.
This is
Dave
true.
Is Michael that. Douglas in Falling Down.
He is. He's in defense.
Which trailer? Which specific one was it, Dave?
It's the one that ends with Nicholas Holt. What a lovely day! Yeah, it's
that's the one that ends with. Okay, we've got the different one.
Oh, yeah, look at that!
Look at that! So, also, I meant to bring this up. You guys may have different trailers than we get here in the U.S. You guys get international trailers.
Yeah, it's possible.
We get bombarded with trailers a lot here in the U.S. We get about 4 to 6 for just about every movie. Not to mention 30-second TV spots.
Wow!
I think since YouTube's obviously come along, we get a lot more exposure now than we used to.
Get a lot
but before,
more
we just get the international trailer and maybe a teaser, and that's it.
If I love a movie, I search for Japanese trailers. I don't give a shit. I'm just like, boom.
I just remember it, Mad Max Fury Road. Like, it just shows, like, you know, Morton Joe, like he's driving, and then it shows the guy with the fucking double necked guitar, and he just strikes the chords,
smacks
and
the flames
come shooting out, and I was like, it literally did it like just as I jizzed in my pants, that fire shot out of the end, and I was just like, George
That's
Miller. He just gets
a very
God, I wish thing. He did it. I wish he did a Justice League because he would have gotten me there too.
Yeah, we talked about that last week on the show. So,
I know. I wanted to jump in your conversation so bad when you guys were talking about it.
great. Obviously, a great choice, and I'm really pleased to hear it on your list as well. All right, so our number five is back to, well, both of us, actually. This was one that made both of our lists.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of it. 300, people. Remember that Zack Snyder movie where, like, there was all these Spartans busting caps on people and shit? Well, not caps, but spears. and it was just, the reason I personally liked this is the Bible-like majesty. It is a grand, grand trailer. Gold hues, endless but awesome slow-mo shots of, you know, dudes getting stabbed, jumping in the air, flying, attacks, battles, whatever. Operatic choir score in the background, helping everything. And of course, the highlight is the, this is Sparta!
One thing's for sure. When I walked out, when I saw this trailer, I knew that it was Sparta.
For sure. What's funny is that Jared Butler is like still using his sort of whatever plummy kind of accent-ish, kind of. And he's almost got a lisp as well, which is weird. Still went with it, still kicked. And when that dude goes down the well and shit, by the way, Gerard Butler checks with his wife before he kills the guy. He turns over his shoulder at Lena and goes, what do you think? She's like, yep. He goes, okay, I'm going to kill this motherfucker. Boom! All right? Love that shit. I love, I don't know, the whole movie. So, did you guys like this movie or...
I did, yeah. This was actually close to being on my list.
Love this movie.
Because I love this trailer as well and the movie. So
yeah,
it's a good call. It's a good call.
Thank you. Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you said. Just some iconic moments in there, like just our arrows will blot out the sun. Yeah. Then we will fight in the shade.
Very cool. Yeah. If you're saying that shit, then you're
isn't
cool
that a,
as
that,
shit.
That's Michael Fassbender who says that too, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, yeah. It is. And that's why he doesn't bother covering his English accent either. So I don't think accents were a big problem.
No, it wasn't, and that's fine because it's this kind of movie. It should be speaking right?
I think in Hollywood production, not even Hollywood production, just film production, like throughout history, I think anytime you have Romans or Greeks, you just get British guys. And Star Wars was just like, you know what, we're gonna have something that's with a Senate and stuff. Well, yeah, let's just get British guys too.
British
like
guys.
I feel like British guys just lend themselves just really well to.
I don't know, it's just so intelligent
to any type of period piece, no matter where it takes place in the world. You just get a British guy, even when Even when they did Gandhi, they were like, you know what? We'll just get Ben Kingsley. Doesn't he have a British accent? Who cares?
All right, cool. So that's us, I believe.
Our number six. Back, so you?
No, no, number four.
It was our number four. I'm sorry.
Four. Now you got me all confused. Or have we jumped?
No,
ahead?
It's our number five. It was our number five.
Number five. Back to you for your number four. Sorry.
Our number four, Spider-Man 2. Ooh. The first teaser trailer that opens with the car crash coming into the cafe.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that one?
I remember this one.
There
this
was a lot of trailers for this movie, I got to say. So this was one
it was
in particular
yeah.
that really stuck with me because I remember first seeing this. I think it was in a Super Bowl commercial. And jonesed up. I was calling my best friend at the time and like – raving about it, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, like, this is on right now. And I was just so worked up, so excited.
It was so Sam Raimi that I loved it. Like, every time Dr. Rock put another tentacle down, it zoomed in closer to Tobey Maguire's face. And he puts another tentacle down, gets closer, and it gets closer.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And the camera's shaking, and I was just like, fuck, yeah. This feels like Evil Dead, but Spider-Man
exactly.
is the main
this
character.
This was the beginning of the MCU in a lot of ways. And, you know, to get some... So many people.
No, it wasn't, but yeah, sure.
I mean, to an extent, to get this level of everybody hyped up for a movie that's
I would say it's the apex of the hype of
Marvel
the comic
character.
Book film at that time, sure.
And
I would agree.
It didn't disappoint. This is, you know, some people argue the best Spider-Man movie.
I don't. Did you guys it like is it? An argument, Jay. It's a fact. This is the best Spider-Man movie.
I'm just saying.
Ooh.
Some people, see? I mean,
I got three words for you. Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Sorry. That is my personal favorite Spider-Man film, but I can't bring that into a fight because people go, who's Miles Morales? And I was like, fuck, pick up a comic book between 2003 and now, and you'll know who Miles Morales is. But I love that. I love that movie.
Yeah, but the nostalgia of this trailer really just hit home for me, and I thought it was really effective, and I got so hyped for this movie.
Let me tell you something. Spider-Man is the finest looking costume on a superhero ever.
It's 100%. Like,
that's what I think. If you the red and the blue, the way that it's formed and actually designed to kind of V in on his actual outfit is perfect. It's better than Batman. I said it.
Well, Stan the Man Lee, even like the way he always described Spider-Man's outfit was like, you know, Superman, you see his face. He just takes off glasses and you know who Superman is. Clark Kent is Superman. You know, Batman puts on a cowl and you can still see the bottom half of his face and everything like that. It's still Bruce Wayne in there. You know who that is. But when Spider-Man puts on the full mask, it could be anyone behind there. Even though we know it's Peter Parker, it could be anybody and it can be you. And that's the way Stan Lee always explained the costume was that like the anonymity of the hero, like he truly was Peter Parker and Spider-Man, and he truly was a different person when he was Spider-Man. So
is he your favorite like superhero growing up or now or whatever? Is he among the favorites or the favorite?
He's among the favorites. My favorite's Captain America, man. I have reasons for that, but
okay.
He's got a tattoo on his arm too.
Captain America, he's the guy that like I always describe it as he's the rock in the middle of the ocean. And, you know, nothing breaks waves, right? Like, waves just crash over everything. But the rock breaks the wave. Like, and that's him. That's what Captain America does. He stands there as the waves break around him. He forces change. Like, that's him. And if you watch the three movies with Captain America in them, that's who he is. He's the guy that forces change. He stands up for what he believes in, for what's right, and not necessarily for what... sometimes he goes against America because what America is doing is not right. And that's why I love him anyway.
Okay. Good. We'll have to move on from our MCU discussion. and to our number four, which was another one that we both agreed on. It was higher on your list though, Wayne.
It was indeed.
So we're talking about 2010's Christopher Nolan's teaser trailer for Inception.
That's right. If you guys don't, I mean, well, I'm sure you guys know, but basically anyone listening... If you saw this trailer for the first time, I think there's no way you wouldn't be interested in the film. Because the trailer itself is kind of like a Salvador Dali painting. Everything's real, but it's not real. Ooh. And you're given this like rough idea.
That was pretty good.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a little surreal. Like, so, you know, the premise of the film is roughly there because it tells you about dreams and whatever. But once you get the crazy image of like Paris folding in on itself, then another one with like people floating in the air and waves destroying an old city and slow-mo characters getting drowned in a car and shit, you are just sitting there going, what could this possibly be doing? And
Joseph Gordon-Levitt jumping from a ceiling to a floor and running forward, and you're like, what the
fuck? Exactly. Why is he floating in the air? Why are there other dudes floating in the air? Why is there a spinning top collapsing? And then, of course, Paul loves this. Paul, I'm sorry, the Hans Zimmer, the bomb, that shit. I mean, it's just pure class.
So effective. So
they're dropping shit like, your mind is the scene of the crime. I'm like, what does that mean?
No, I don't think that was in the teaser.
Oh, really?
No.
I think the later trailer.
Oh, the later trailer.
This one has Cobb saying,
the most infectious thing is an idea.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's a good
point. Idea. Yeah.
But textbook example of marketing a movie without giving too much away.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's the thing. Everyone was intrigued. If you were at all interested in this kind of movie, then you're like, whoa, what is this? And even now with whatever his next project is, that same type of hype is starting to build up behind it. Not that we've seen any footage from it yet, but it's like, ooh, Christopher Nolan doing another sort of thriller mindfuck.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So he's got the corner on that particular market. Yeah. And there's no better example than this one.
He's the man. So yeah, big fan.
Cool. That's us.
Well,
back to you
guys. Well, fellas, just roll into your number two, because I think you touched on all the points for our number three, which was the Inception teaser. So
that is awesome. Some great minds thinking alike here.
Absolutely.
Nothing else you guys want to add?
No, it's absolutely fantastic. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you never, again, haven't seen certain things and certain footage on screen before. And Christopher Nolan brought in a lot of really creative, big production scale that you haven't seen before on screen with, you know, for example, that Paris, you know, the town is overlapping and flipping up on itself and different kind of explosions around the characters as they're just standing still. And it was really, really unique in so many different kind of ways. It kept you on the edge of your seat, even for being a 2.5 hour long movie. And I loved it for an original film. You know, concept and everything like that. I mean, everybody was hyped.
I think
up
that's
for
why it.
It
was so important that, like, he showcased that this film was going to have actors that were in his other films, because this is such a high concept type film.
Sure.
That, like, you needed to feel comfortable while watching. Like, you know, you need to feel comfortable seeing Michael Caine because you just saw him as Alfred, right? So, like, showing Ken Watanabe in it, and you just saw him as fake Ra's al Ghul and stuff. Like, he has these people who are in all of his films in this, like, movie where, like, they're showing you a trailer where, like, Paris is folding in on itself. There's a dude jumping from the ceiling to the ground running and stuff. You need to not feel too out of it to not want to see it, right? So, like, that's one of the things I really respect about the trailer is, like,
it's a really
showcasing something that's comfortable.
He's a clever man.
And, you know, because otherwise a lot of people might have been thinking,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, for fuck's sake, what is that? You're just engineering ways to put that shit in and I'll eat a dick.
No, I mean, cocaine's not a hallucinogen. I mean, you had to be on some truly powerful
that's
magical
true.
Mushrooms.
You're quite correct. If we're getting technical.
Way to parlay that to make it work, bro. Thank you.
All right, well, that's your number three. So, great minds, as we said. Our number three is all about Wayne. It's so Wayne, it hurts. So I'm just going to hand it over to him, step back and try to avoid the raging boner.
Well, here's the thing. It's an old trailer, people. So it's not going to be cut like something you see today. And if you watched it just cold now, you'd probably go, But it's the Batman 89 trailer, son. I saw this at the age of 14, and that was my first erection. So
shit, I was three.
This
I was 3 years old when this movie came out.
3 years old. Your kids are so kids. Your kids. Check this out. For an old man, okay? The trailer opens on a Batwing, which for you who don't know is Batman's jet plane shaped like a bat symbol. Fucking awesome.
Glides if you don't know that, frame. Stop listening.
Yeah, it's just against the bluey green night, and it kind of glides through Gotham and it starts shooting at the Joker. And then the weird thing about this trailer, right? There's a close-up of Batman. I admit when I first saw Michael Keaton's Batman, I thought he looked shit. I was like, oh, he's got black eye makeup under that thing. It's stupid. But then, of course, I completely got over it because the trailer is freaking weird if you look at it now. Almost no score, jagged cuts of scenes of the movie. After that big action scene, it just cuts straight to Kim Basinger meeting Bruce Wayne. I don't know. I can't deny how in I was from it. Yes, I loved Batman, but I think the reason I loved it is before this, I'd never actually seen a serious real-life representation of Batman before. And it was seeing the comic come to life in the real way. And they made him in a black outfit. Not the blue and the gray. Black. Because that's cooler, okay? And when you see the Batmobile shooting at a wall, boner one. That was it. And I think the real cell shot was when Batman crashes through the ceiling. And then his like cape splays out. Looks like bat wings. Shat my pants. Shat my pants, people. Do you guys like Batman 89 or
I'll send you the recipe for our 89 Batman cocktail that we did with the Epic Film Guys for for live stream, you know, for The Cure. You can make it while you watch 89 Batman. It's called the Come On Let's Get Nuts cocktail.
Oh, excellent. Cocktail. That's beautiful. So. That's beautiful. You know, the other thing that's cool about this trailer is at the end of the trailer, they don't even put a title card saying Batman. They just show the symbol. Yeah. Like, oh, look at that. Yeah. They're like, fuck you. You know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, fade out.
So much so that the poster was just the symbol.
And I've got
then
that poster.
And the tape.
The VHS. The VHS was just, yeah, was just a symbol as well. So yeah.
I absolutely love the movie. Yeah. It was one of, I think it was the first movie I ever saw in theaters, actually.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, with my name being Jay, I crossed the top of my J and I used to write bat ears on the top of my J's.
This is 100% true.
Back in when I was in first grade.
He was that kid.
I was that kid.
This is a real
I was
fan.
Huge Batman fan. Yes.
I'm Batman.
Now, a little adjunct to what Wayne's described, and you were mentioning before how many different trailers and ad spots and the like that you get. One that made it from the States, an ad spot for this film that made it here, which created quite the impression, is basically there's a voiceover of this guy going, "Where is everyone?"
Yeah.
And then we'll have shots.
That's weird.
Yeah, empty stadiums.
Streets are empty.
And then they're all in line for Batman. Yeah. They're all going to see Batman.
And that
Batman.
Was how it ended.
That's all it was.
I want someone to go back and cut together just Eckhart, like all Eckhart scenes. Just do those. Don't go print
Where
missing
you
your paper,
your
Knox.
Oh, jeez. I'm sure the Epic Film guys are in that process right now.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. They've already recorded it.
All right, you're number two.
Well, we have ourselves an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Endgame.
Ooh. This is our most recent one, too.
Yes.
This is the most recent film on our list.
Endgame. You know, I mean, it's it's the one with, what is it?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Very voiceover heavy.
It was.
But so effective.
Yeah.
And it hit all the notes as far as what we are.
I'm pretty sure same day the Marvel 10-year trailer came out, which led up to this trailer.
Amping up to after the Infinity War. So it was one of those movies where, you know, it was ambiguous. You know, we had no idea what was going to happen afterwards.
It was so.
And it just hit all the notes as far as, like, really, we knew they were in a dire situation. They are the only ones that can figure this out, fight for our world.
Right.
And they are just gathering together and trying to fight.
It's got that Captain America line where, you know, he's talking to Black Widow and he's just like, she's like, "Do you think this plan will work?" He has to. Yeah, it has to. Because I don't know what I'll do if it doesn't.
Exactly.
And
it
also has, like, the one of the moments in the film that, like, truly made me cry.
The score? I mean, score, really.
It has that moment where Captain America's standing up and the shield is busted and broken. His arm is broken and bleeding and he just pulls the strap tighter and he grits his teeth and he stands up. And I was like, fucking God damn it, you kill me every time, Captain America.
No shit, so that was great.
But yeah, I mean, this trailer just absolutely so much. Just, it was one of the last, like, big trailers that they did for Avengers leading into. I think this trailer came out, like, just a couple weeks before the film premiered. And it really sold you on, like, this movie, this plan that they're going for. It's dire. Like, you knew going into this that people weren't coming out of it.
Right.
You know, that was always the rumor, and you knew that was the case.
Yeah,
but this trailer really drove it home for you that, like, they're showcasing all these characters because one of them's done. It also ends with Tony Stark saying, "Whatever it takes." And in the marketing prior to that, they were keeping him out because he was supposed to be stuck in space and they wanted to do this whole thing where it's like, you don't know how he's getting, but we all knew he was coming back. So they just said, you know what? He's here. Whatever it takes. He's going to be here too.
Nice. And obviously I had the weight of 21 films or whatever it is before this one behind it.
Yeah,
I mean, who wasn't excited? Everyone was excited.
Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest film in the world for a reason.
Yeah.
In history for a reason. Yeah. So that's a great pick for your number two. Our number two will be short and sweet. It is the aforementioned Mad Max Fury Road, though we did go, or I went, the teaser trailer here, which is the one which sort of builds up a bit of cutting around it. Then we get Charlize Theron's Furiosa falling to her knees in the sand and it's all billowing around her. And
is this the one that started with him pissing and then he stomps on the lizard?
No, it's a little bit different to that one, but very similar. It's sort of a little bit of Tom Hardy at the start talking as Max, get you sort of used to that idea. And then sort of, you know, in a world without hope, without mercy, without whatever else. And then that moment, and then from Mastermind, George Miller, and the music builds that classic music, Dies Irae, I think it's called. And it basically goes, let's see how I go here.
Oh, this will be good.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Perfect.
You'll have got that one perfectly,
like,
right?
It was a recording. It was great.
And with those, some of those magic iconic shots with the world goes mad, big letters.
That was a jazzy
letters.
Tune you did, Paul. I really wanted to do the drums while you were doing it. Like,
just Shazam it, man. I'm sure it'll turn up.
I will close the episode with that music so you all may hear what I was referring to.
No, we're good, man. All right. So
it was nowhere close to what you were referring to. It was good. I liked it. I put a little step in. I started patting my feet a little bit. I like it.
Thanks, Dave. We live for those Thanks moments. For being more supportive than my co-host here.
Oh, it's funny as hell.
All right. Well, this is the moment. Can we get you guys to recap your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number 1, though? If you're playing along at home, I think you will know. So
yeah,
please,
absolutely.
Take us away.
All right. Number 10. A Star is Born for some fucking reason. Number 9, Superman Returns. Number 8, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Teaser trailer. Number 7, Kill Bill Volume 1 teaser. Number 6, The Tree of Life. Number 5, Mad Max Fury Road. Number 4, Spidey 2, I guess Super Bowl trailer, car crash. Number 3, Inception teaser. Number 2, Avengers Endgame Whatever It Takes trailer. And our number 1... is the very first teaser trailer for The Force Awakens. Because it starts just with...
It's perfect.
It literally starts with, done! And then, like...
You're in.
It's just a desert, and you just hear... And you see John Boyega's face, dun, and it changes again. Uh-huh. And then you start hearing like this voiceover from this mysterious dark figure. Yes. And then you hear like the darkness. And then you see the bladed light, that crazy lightsaber strike up from Kylo Ren. Yeah, and then the two cross guards light up too, and you're like, what the fuck
what
is this?
Is that?
And then you just hear, end the lights. And it goes black. For what feels like an incomplete second. And then the score. Ba-da-da-da! And you see the Millennium Falcon come flying in. Two TIE fighters are flying at it, shooting at it. It's firing back. And then they pass each other. And then it goes black. And you just hear the bump, 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 bump. Literally, when I saw this teaser, and I believe this was a Comic-Con teaser. This is the one that was at Comic-Con. I immediately YouTubed it. And I was watching it, and
tears were literally squirting out of Dave's eyes.
The second I saw the Millennium, I knew it was Star Wars, but like the second I saw the Millennium Falcon and the score started to swell when the Millennium Falcon shows up for the first time in this new trilogy, I lost it. Like, I just started crying, and then like I hear the bump, 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 bump. But like, for those of you who don't know at home, I'm a massive Star Wars fan. It is the thing that's closest to my heart. So this like really got to me.
Is this the trailer where Han Solo's at the end, the reveal?
It is not. That is
it
teaser
is not.
Two.
Okay.
This is teaser one. Literally, you see Rey for like a couple seconds. You see John Boyega. You see Kylo Ren. And like that's pretty much it. Like that's all you see in this trailer, in this teaser. And then you see the Millennium Falcon. That's it.
Yeah, so when you finally saw Han Solo, you must have crapped your pants, right?
No, because I knew he was in it, and I know what he looks like, right? Like I know Harrison Ford's old. Like I did see, you know, Crystal Skull 10 years before this, or you know, 9 whatever years.
What movie is that?
The Crystal Skull.
We all deny that one.
I don't notice. I'm not putting IJ in front of it. I'm just saying the Crystal Skull.
Slightly more palatable.
No, this movie absolutely. I mean, that's why I absolutely agreed for this to be number one because of how well it is made. I mean, it's the perfect teaser trailer, and especially for one of the biggest franchises of all time, Star Wars, this was perfect in my mind as far as getting the brand revamped for this new generation, a new era of fans, and also just for the old fans too to get hyped up because it had the score moments, it had its little moments as far as, you know, the bump, you know, when it first opened up. And just the shot quality and then introducing the new characters very briefly didn't need any dialogue. All it needed was the Millennium Falcon.
That's
and
it.
Then when the score came
and the
through
music,
and you saw the cool shot, boom, you see the Star Wars sign.
Give you a little bit of new, give you something iconic.
It was everything you needed. It's all you needed. You didn't even need any other trailer.
Literally J.J. Abrams' mantra throughout the entire film.
Right.
Little bit of old, little bit of new,
boom.
We're fine.
Perfect.
Everyone's going to get it.
So I absolutely loved it. It was really, really good.
Great number one from you, gentlemen. I probably should have known Dave would have this one right up there. I wasn't sure Jay would be on board, but nice.
Jay was on board. I showed him this when, once I told him months ago when we were that we were going to be doing this. I told him. I sat him
this
down.
This was the only Star Wars trailer that was going to be on the list.
And I
for
put
me,
him yeah. on. And I put it on in our living in my living room on the TV, and I was like, "That's our number one." And he goes, "No, I agree." And I was like, "Fuck." Okay. Thank God.
Nice. No arguments.
Because I was going to get the brass knuckles out.
No need this week. All right, well, our recap then and revealing our number one, which is very different and no hint of it has come up yet. Number 10, Bad Times at the El Royale. Nine, Suicide Squad, the You Don't Know Me and Boring Blitz trailer. The Watchmen, was that the teaser trailer, Wayne, at number 8?
I think so, yes.
All right, we'll not ask you any more questions.
Okay.
Alien 1979 trailer at 7, The Force Awakens, but we had the full trailer instead at number 6, 300 at number 5, the teaser trailer there, another teaser with Inception at number 4, the Batman 89 trailer, a main one there, number 2, Mad Max Fury Road, the teaser, and our number 1 has a bit of a story behind it.
Oh, it does. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, our number one, I showed Wayne in this very house and a whole bunch of our friends. I said, I've seen this trailer. You guys all need to watch it. We stuck it on Wayne's Apple TV and put it up there. And there's a group of men sitting around a table. And by the end of this trailer, all of them were like, that's too fucking scary. I don't know about that film now. I don't know. And I'm almost like, what's going on
Me
here?
Me in particular was saying that.
We're talking about The Conjuring's teaser trailer from 2013.
Wow.
It is the. Have you seen
Great
it?
Great horror flick, so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one where basically it's all like light, nice.
Starts all innocent.
Yeah. And then they're playing a game. Mum's blindfolded.
Yeah. The hide and seek is happening. The mum's blindfolded. Yeah. There's that summer of whatever song going on. Wicked. And then, she's blindfolded, and the kids are actually around the house hiding, and they clap at each other so they can hear where they are and they can come hide and go seek. So behind the mom, as she's blindfolded, the fucking cupboard or closet opens and there's nothing inside.
And the music stops.
All of a sudden, what the fuck's going on here? And then you hear the clap, clap. Okay? Then there's more scenes later on of, like, the mom goes to look at the cupboard. There's nothing inside. What's going on here? Then there's more scenes of, like, the clap, 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 clap. Mom goes to investigate. This is later on at night now. And she is clapping from the kid's bedroom. She walks in there and she's, like, telling them off, like, you're supposed to be asleep. Walked in. They are asleep. What the fuck's doing that clapping? Okay? And she's like,
Is it downstairs?
Is it downstairs? She looks downstairs and this massive ruckus. All the frames fall off the wall. They get torn off. She's freaking out. You know some real balls are going on now. You still see nothing. And then the clapping starts coming from the basement. She walks over there. She's like, what happens, Paul? She's like...
Well, she steps inside. She bashes her head or something pushes her into the light globe. It all goes pitch black. And the door slams shut behind her. And she pulls out a match, lights it up. And she's sitting in there like, if anyone... What?
Whoever's down there, I'm going to trap you down there.
And then two hands appear next to her head and...
Clap, clap. Yeah.
And boom, The Conjuring.
Because you don't even see it. You're sitting there going, what's going on? They just appear behind her head. Yep. Clap, clap. Oh, shit.
It's so unsettling. Black.
Yeah, I was
hard
like,
cut.
Crap my pants.
Holy shit. Most effective trailer ever.
This movie was like one of my favorite horror movies of like the past 10 years. And I do remember this trailer. I remember seeing this in the theater, actually, for the first time when I saw this trailer.
That would have been awesome.
Absolutely effective. So...
Right?
Confession. Yeah. I never saw it.
Really?
It's Patrick Wilson.
I hate
Wilson
horror movies. I like this.
We collectively love Patrick Wilson, you and I.
This is true.
You need to see it.
Yeah, you should maybe check it out. If Wayne can, Wayne can get behind it, you
I
might
hate horror movies, and this one is fucking baller. So it's worth a look.
Okay.
I will definitely see it. That's our number 10, and hopefully Jay will... number 10, number 1. Hopefully Jay will check it out at some point in the future and let us know, Jay, if you hated his guts.
Certainly will. Wait, you know what's great? We also do movie homeworks on our show, so I think Wayne and Paul just assigned Jay a movie homework.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Yeah. You'll dig it, man. You'll dig it, son. I know. I hated horror movies. You'll like this one.
Okay.
All right, well, those are our lists, and we're running a little bit long, so we won't go too much into any honorable mentions of life, but is there one that missed your list that you're really dark about that you want to mention?
Jay, what do you got?
I will probably go as corny as possible, and I'm going to go with the La La Land trailer.
Yeah, that is corny.
Yes! That's a good call.
All right.
I had Alien 79 as an honorable mention, just because I wasn't alive for the hype. That's why I wasn't on there. But
fair enough.
I guess like my big honorable mention would be like The Phantom Menace. Like, I remember literally watching that online as a kid, waiting like a long time for it to download so I could watch it again after I had saw it in the theaters. And, you know.
Very nice. All right. Well, that is it for Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
All right, kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the Pilot Comics podcast, John from that show. Here are his three trailers. Cloverfield, the trailer had to be totally wanting more and had no idea what it was about
at
the time. Yeah, and I watched that one. It wasn't a bad one at all. The Dark Knight built much anticipation for the widening of the Batman mythos in film. Plus,
of course,
first real look at Ledger as the Joker. And The Phantom Menace, most anticipated ever, fooled me. We got a lot of those.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, there was a lot of people saying that. And it actually made me second guess my Force Awakens one. And I just remembered how I felt. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep that. I'm not switching sides. I'm not going back to the prequels.
No, I reckon that's a good... I mean, obviously we agree or The Force Awakens in that regard. The Phantom Menace trailer was good. But no matter how much you try and separate it, it was sullied by the film. So The Force Awakens created hope again that maybe this is going to be.
That's why you were there.
Yeah.
You know
and
what?
The new Star Wars trailer. The new Star Wars trailer. I almost put that on here because I shat my pants when she flipped in the air and then lightsabered a fucking ship that was chasing her. That's cool, man.
It was cool.
Thing. Oh, the bike thing. Yeah. Something.
All right, then. Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast. Good friend to the show. Don't Faint, but actually The Village. The trailer was really spooky and well done. Shame about the movie.
That's actually a good call. Hmm.
The first Deadpool, which was on Wayne's list when we talked on the Patreon side of things, and Jurassic Park, which,
another
good one as well. Mike Seibert, he did not miss a beat. He didn't go for Transformers, whatever the cartoon one was, as he usually does. He instead went for... I remember getting up for the Thanksgiving morning in 2014 to watch The Force Awakens trailer and feeling a true sense of exhilaration and joy that I hadn't felt about Star Wars for years.
Hmm.
It's the same feeling I had watching The Phantom Menace trailer too.
Sure. Mm.
There it is.
Yeah. Our good friends, mutually good friends, Nick from the Epic Film Guys had The Social Network. First time I was convinced the Facebook movie was more than meets the eye. And that Creep cover? So,
I agree.
Yep. Man of Steel teaser. Still remember it's opening night of The Dark Knight Rises in IMAX. And here's one out of left field for you. Cloud Atlas. I bought the book that day. I saw that 6-minute
Cloud Atlas had a strong trailer, and it's a really strong novel, but that novel cannot be made into a film.
Be made.
Was it a bad movie?
I like the movie.
The movie's okay. The movie's okay.
The book's more challenging than Watchmen.
Far more challenging.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
From Stephen from the Super Retro Throwback Podcast, basically my choices are because nothing was spoiled and it left you craving more. And so he had The Exorcist with the photosensitivity warning from 1973, T2 Judgment Day, and the Alien trailer, which we spoke about before.
Big time.
Emily Prokop from the Story Behind podcast. Big Fish.
Agreed. I love that movie.
Yeah. Big Fish was a great trailer.
Very nice work there, Emily. Hendo from the IMDb Journey podcast. The Dark Knight trailer, too, for sure. Gives me the shivers. X-Men Days of Future Past trailer.
Yes.
Which he described as exquisite. And Pulp Fiction for obvious reasons.
Now, the Dark Knight trailer too, that's the one with Heath Ledger walking down the street just going, come on, I want you to do it.
Hendo can correct us.
And he said, I can't rank them. It's too hard.
Welcome to our world.
Understand.
From a new Aussie podcast, Bad Casting, Underworld, The Force Awakens, again, and Avengers Infinity War. This one still gives me chills.
Infinity War. Yeah, fair enough.
So I can't remember it specifically, but...
All I remember was crapping my pants at anything Avengers that summer. So,
Trailer Junkies podcast. You reckon they might nail this particular topic? Okay, came down my top three. The Social Network, The Blair Witch, and Us.
The Blair Witch was an extremely effective trailer.
Sure.
It didn't let on that it was a movie, that there was a production crew, that these were actors, you know.
Yeah, it said it was real.
Yeah, yep. they had to, like, it's actually a really interesting story about how they had to, like, flirt with the line of, like, presenting it as real. So, like, but it was an effective trailer, especially with
when you guys saw it, did you know it was fake?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, me too.
Nice. And the last one was Us. So for the movie earlier this year, and Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast, also good mutual friend, recommended that one as well.
Mm.
Music Musing had actually episode one trailer blew my mind, probably followed by The Matrix, which is on Wayne's list.
That's a good one.
Matrix is a good one, yeah.
Yep. And Hereditary, which was an offsetting, off-kilter trailer, and I remember being very intrigued.
As disturbing as the movie, that trailer.
Malin 181 said, number three, The Joker from this year coming. So that trailer has really got them interested.
I did not like that trailer.
You didn't like it?
I'm intrigued, but I like it a lot.
I don't love it, but I like it a lot. I'm looking forward to the film.
I did a full trailer part on why I don't like it. So
okay.
Number two, Miracle on 34th Street. So there's the oldest trailer we've had picked by quite a long way. And number one, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
What? I think I'm on board with that, actually.
Hey, third time's a charm, I guess, right?
All right, last few. Jon Snow, or a.k.a. Julio from the Contrarians podcast, and I did promise to give him a shout this week. He went Watchmen teaser trailer.
Yes, son. Break yourself.
Yeah, regardless yes, of how you feel queen. About movie, how can you not love this trailer, which is more than fair. Joey from the So Wizard podcast had the Independence Day trailer, which was on my short list, the teaser trailer of all the shadows going over the buildings and then ending on the iconic explosion of the White House. Cloverfield, again, and again, Star Wars Episode 1 teaser. The first time Joey said he ever cried in a movie theater.
Oh.
So that's all right. That is something. Blake Jarvis had Mad Max Fury Road, Logan, and Star Wars The Force Awakens. A lot of Star Wars love, as you can tell.
Yeah.
And the last one for today from the Superhero Movie Talk podcast, in no particular order, and what comes to mind, Avengers Age of Ultron, Prometheus, and Star Wars, once again,
The Force Awakens. I remember the Age of Ultron one. That's the Pinocchio song. Got no strings to hold me down.
Yeah, no strings.
That's playing through. It's very effective. It's good.
Yeah. And that dude, what's his name? James
Spader.
Fucking James awesome. Spader. His voice, man.
His Incredible. Voice is good. I love when he takes Claw's hand and he's just like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I didn't mind the movie. Third viewing made it.
Third
sing.
Viewing.
Third viewing. That's right.
I've never been back
third
for number two.
Viewing. That's when I got Stockholm syndrome with Age of Ultron. The third viewing.
I understand.
That is it for today's show. We have to thank our guests Dave and Jay joining us.
Thanks,
late
fellas.
In an evening their time. Thank you so much. Can you tell our listeners where they can find your show to check out the awesomeness of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta apologize again for me being sick. If you heard that through the episode, if my audio is not so good, so I apologize for that. But you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the old Podcoin app that we've been peddling over there on our show. Anywhere you find podcasts, just search Super Movie Bros. And then if you want to reach out to us, check us out on Twitter at Super Movie Pod. Jay runs the Facebook Super Movie Bros podcast. And if you want to look at some of our movie cocktail recipes from season one of Movie Cocktail, go over to podfixnetwork.com. Go to the menu, pop it down. You can check out all of our movie cocktail recipes there and all the fantastic shows that are part of the Podfix Network. There
all
you go.
Right.
Plugged.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And Wayne, where can people find us to give us feedback on topics and the like?
Just Google the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
That's what I did to find Wayne's face so I could make a Wayne.
That's right. I meant to show you this photo.
Wayne as John Boyega.
I will show you the chat later where okay. it's John Wayne Aruzu Boyega. Dave with some handiwork there. Very funny stuff.
Okay. Look, yeah. I'm not saying I'm obsessed with Wayne, but I have a thing about taking Wayne's face and putting it on people. I think I put you on Black Adam.
I saw that one. I did see that one. That was good. You know what? It's because of the bulbous bald head. You can just, it's not hard to Photoshop out. You can just kind of put it in.
Exactly. You're a great canvas, Wayne.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at the Countdown PC, as Dave said. We are on Facebook in the listener community. Links in the show notes. Check us out on ccradio.com.au, the network we are a proud part of, with some other great Aussie shows there as well. And we host through Podbean, where you can, of course, listen, subscribe, and make comments, which people are starting to do, which is kind of cool.
Very
as
cool.
Well, Wayne, what are we doing next week for episode 230? Or have we not yet decided?
We have not yet decided, okay. So I'm entirely unsure about
that. In that case, we will get back to you in due course. I'm sure hopefully you'll still tune in regardless. Yeah, yeah. We'll call it, potluck episode.
Well, there'll be some of that. So, all right.
One of those two things. All right. Once again, I want to thank Dave and Jay. Thanks, guys,
thanks,
for coming
guys.
On. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, guys,
Absolutely.
So much.
Thank you.
You rock.
All right. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Dave.
My name is Jay.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck off.
Because we haven't had enough of The Soundboard today.
No, it's true.
Catch you all next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Is this the trailer where
Start again.
Okay, I'll go. Is this the trailer where Han Solo's at the end?
What the